This is CliffCentral.com.
That's Imagine Dragons. Nice song. It's called Believer. Yes. No. All right.
Did you just...
That just took a minute.
Disappear into your own world there for a second.
I had to savor the Monday morning feeling.
And how does it feel for you now?
It feels...
Okay. You're a believer. That's
I'm a believer. Believer. All right, let's bring Bokang in here. She's also married to, I mentioned a second ago, Bokang Monchani Chabalala. She's from Polokwane, and she is a beauty queen. She's also a businesswoman. She owns a company called Bokang Legacy, which she set up when she was in university, her seminars for women. She's involved in this I Am Woman seminar that is going on around the country. She also produces SABC One's Zaziwa. And she's married to Simpiwe Chabalala, among other things. So, hey, look at you. What a magnificent vision for a Monday morning to see you. Huh? Wow. I could have done a lot worse for a Monday. We could have done a lot worse. I could have woken up this Monday morning and had to look at just Ben and Sia all morning.
Okay.
Anything worse. Look at you, Bokang. What a pleasure to have you here. Yes, Bokang. It's nice to see you. You good?
I'm good.
Yeah, you look good.
I just had to wake up early. I'm not used to it. My day starts at 9. So, yeah.
Oh.
But it's a good thing.
You sound like a footballer's wife when you say
oh,
that.
Oh, my shame. I actually work, but my day starts at 9. The luxury of being like self-employed.
Oh, I'm a footballer's wife. And I wake up at 9 and I stretch and yawn.
No shame.
None of that, huh?
No.
Well, I got to say, it's very nice to meet you because I was quite interested in hearing what you've been up to. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of these things around last month's Women's Month and all the rest of it. There were quite a lot of people who mentioned your name in very, very nice, hallowed and glowing terms.
That's nice.
When it came to the things that you are doing for empowerment of women. And let's start with that, I suppose, because Dare to Dream was a campaign that you started, right?
Yes, yes, I did.
Focusing particularly on youth empowerment across the country. Mm. So how does that work? How did you put it together? How did you begin that? Where did it all start?
Okay, it actually started during my reign as Miss South Africa. And, I mean, we all know you get charities that you get a part of. And so for me, the biggest thing is I fought very hard to have my own stuff. Mm-hmm. I think you have 1 year and you just want it to be amazing. And you don't want to stick to the same charities and it's just pictures. And
you were Miss SA in what, 2010?
2010, yeah.
That's
so,
a big year.
Yeah. So I decided to have my very first youth camp. So I took disadvantaged girls from rural areas and townships, and I took them away to Sun City, and it was basically just career guidance, sex education, you know, motivational talks as well from various people. And then I realized, you know, I'm taking 70 kids out of South Africa, and it's just 70. So I felt like maybe I need to just make it bigger once my reign is done, go to schools and give the motivational talks. And so that's the whole idea behind Dare to Dream. We're just daring young kids who are disadvantaged to dream big and to just, you know, continue pushing.
Who made you dream big? I mean, when you grow up in... I mean, I can't even say it. It's in Polokwane, right?
Yeah.
This is not the most privileged of provinces.
My father did. My dad.
Your dad taught you to dream?
My father just, I just grew up with, I grew up with a mom and dad who just literally said, you're more than enough. And I think that's why I do what I do, because I just think a lot of kids don't have it. It sounds so pageantry, but it's so true. Yeah. You know, my dad would be like, I always laugh.
First of all, your dad was around,
exactly. And he literally brought me up because my mom worked for, my mom is a nurse and she'd come back home over the weekends. So he literally brought me up. And, you know, he used to call me Bookie Special, the most beautiful girl in the world. He would say that to me almost every day. And I think you just grow up feeling like you're good enough. I mean, even with the kiddies pageants he would take me to, it was like your rural stuff, not the stuff you see on TV. And I would never win. I would ask him, Marapapa, why? Mm. You know, I'd be so upset because you're a little girl and you're thinking, but I want to win. And we'd be like, did you see the judges? They are so ugly. Ugly people always choose ugly people. So I grew up knowing that I'm enough. Even if I don't get something, it's not because I'm not good enough. And I think, I think he definitely played a huge role.
if you don't have that when you're a kid,
yeah,
it's really hard mm-hmm. to fix it later on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you've got kids of your own now, so you're obviously very aware of this.
I've got a little boy. I think it's
aware too, right?
Yes. What you speak into your kids' lives, it's very important. Very important.
Yeah. So when you have that pressure of being a parent, mm-hmm. do you think a lot about how your parents raised you?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you use as
the
template?
Most definitely. But I mean, I'm not a mom like my mom. My mom was like close to perfect, very sweet, very calm, and I'm not like that.
Yeah.
So there are moments when I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe my mom wouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't. But, yeah, but
that's the point with parenting is it's
I know, there is no recipe.
There's no perfect formula. Yeah.
So, you know, I give it my best and, you know, you give them the best and you just hope they turn out right. That's it. That's all you can do.
What kind of a dad is Simpiwe?
Oh, he's amazing.
I mean,
oh my goodness, he's so amazing. I think he was just ready for it. You know, he wanted a baby like for 2 years and I was like, no, I'm not ready. You know, I want to be here. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. So by the time it happened, I said, okay, no, I'm fine. Career-wise, I'm happy. Let's do this. And he was like...
I heard a story about you two. I heard... I heard how you met. That you and he were both at a radio interview.
Yeah.
He was on his way out. I was going in.
Yeah.
And apparently he asked for a picture on the way out.
Yes, he
did. Oh, wow, Miss South Africa. Yeah. Oh, you're so pretty. Can I have a picture? And then you said, sure. And then he wanted your number and you said no.
He didn't actually ask me. He went behind my back and he just went off to the people at the radio station. He begged them. They said, we're not allowed. He said, please, please, please. And eventually he got my numbers. So I was very shocked when I was like, okay, who is this?
Did you make him work for it?
Oh, yeah. You're like, I mean, it took us like a whole year before we started dating.
2010, was that when you met him?
Yes.
So
it was a big year for both of us.
It was huge for both of you. It was probably, you were probably the most important people in the country that year.
Yeah, it was quite incredible, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
He was our darling because he scored that goal in the first game.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about Simpiwe Tshabalala, right? And he had the long dreads there.
Yeah.
That stage.
Yeah.
Now, how long after you met at this Kaya thing?
Did we start dating?
This Kaya FM thing, did you start dating?
2012. So it took us like a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah, made him wait.
Wow. You're girl.
Okay, but first of all, I know the Miss South Africa thing. You can't really date anyone while you're Miss
South Africa. Not really. You can, just don't make it public. And I think the idea behind it is just for PR, okay? Let's say you win and you've got a boyfriend. And because it's such a big year, sometimes some guys just can't handle it. And let's say maybe 3 months, 4 months down the line, you break up. And are you going to introduce a new guy now? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just not ideal for the idea of being a Miss South Africa.
You're so busy.
Yeah, and you're just hectic. You know, so of course in the year we were just talking and then we became friends. I was like, nah. And then, well, 2012, I was like, okay.
He must have really loved you. Because he could have had any other woman. I mean, he was a good looking dude. He's got a really great football career going.
He was waiting for me.
He was waiting
for
you.
Yes.
What a compliment.
No, he's amazing. He's such a great dad. He's a great husband. Very supportive of the stuff I do. And I think I've always just wanted, I've always said, I don't want a man who's a finished product. Meaning somebody who has everything, you know, all the money, all this. And I'm just coming in as if, no, I wanted somebody I can grow with, somebody I can build with. And we're in business together. We're doing so many things together.
And you guys decided to date for a while. You only got married in 2016, right?
Yes. So, yeah. So we dated and it was fantastic. And then we decided, okay.
I was like,
I'm ready for the baby now and then the marriage. So we did things our way. You know, we didn't do it as a public relationship. And I think you just want to protect it, especially at the beginning. You just want to do you and let it be the two of you and see how far it can get. So, yeah, and that's exactly what we did. We're happy with that.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like a really good partnership. People underestimate this stuff. You know, they think it's all about love and it's all about romance and attraction.
No.
And the wedding. It's not. It's really about sitting down and being able to have a conversation with someone and being able to trust.
Planning with someone, sharing your future goals, your dreams, and just basically trying to figure out, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? Can I go forward with this person? And I think the biggest thing as well, it was life after everything. What happens after life, after football, you know, after the Miss SA is done? What are we planning to do with our lives? And just getting together and doing all of that together. And I think
you are doing a lot. I mean, I just looked at some of the things on the list of stuff that you've done. So first of all, there's a modeling school in Auckland Park. Are you still involved
with
that?
No, I don't have it anymore. I decided to stop because I wanted to focus on the foundation. Okay. So I did for a while run that, and then I just stopped and I said no. Later in life, when I have what I want, I'll definitely go back. But this time, not do it as a business, but do it as a CSI.
And you want to do it for young girls?
Oh, yes, okay. Most definitely. I think it definitely helps with a lot of confidence.
Sure.
I think just being on stage and just, you know, the biggest thing for me, it was never about the beauty part or how I look. It was always about being on stage, being given that microphone, being asked a question, and just saying what I feel, what I think, whether people like it or not. So for me, it's always, you know, I've had a couple of questions that I was asked even during my interviews where I thought, the judges, there's no way they're going to pick me as Miss South Africa, you know, because I've always been honest. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, a lot of these girls in these beauty pageants, right, they don't have a lot of opinions. They don't really. And I'm not saying they're stupid. Don't get me wrong. Because I know lots of people who talk a lot, but they're very dumb.
Yeah.
And then there are those people who hold back. And sometimes they always say it is better to appear thoughtful than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Maybe for me, it's just a bit different. For me, I've always been the type of a person. I remember, I mean, when I was running for Miss SA, I got asked about the strike. It was a strike for nurses and principal, I mean, teachers. And all the girls are like, no, they shouldn't go on strike, blah. And I was like, no, they should. I said, I was raised by a teacher and a nurse. And I've seen my mom working the longest hours ever, from 7 o'clock until in the morning until 7 o'clock in the evening. Of course you should get more, you know. My father, who was a principal at the time, is retired now. I say to them, I have seen him going to a school that has no resources at all. He's a principal. He doesn't have a secretary. He must come back home, type the test himself. Or do you understand what I'm saying? I said, of course, it's important. And I said to them, they definitely deserve a raise. If you're asking me from that perspective, then I'll definitely say yes. This strike is extremely important.
In a pageant, they don't want anyone being controversial.
Yeah, exactly. No. But I think,
it's
honestly,
answer and world peace.
But you need to just stick to who you are. Do you understand? I would have died if I tried to be anything else or anybody else and not have strong opinions and not be chosen, because I always would have wondered what would have happened if I'd been myself. Yeah. But you know, if you don't get picked when you're yourself, you're like, okay, it's fine. They didn't want me and it's okay. So
your dad was right all those years ago. Look at the judges. They're ugly people. They'll vote for ugly people.
Yeah.
Luckily you had hot judges that year. All right. So while we're on the pageants, because I also want to talk about this library that you opened up in your hometown.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, you won Miss SA in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were in the top 16 in Miss Earth 2007, a couple of years before that.
Yeah.
And one of the top 7 finalists, you were named Miss World Africa at Miss World 2011.
Yeah.
So were these all important to you, like just from the point of view that if you gather up as many titles as that, then people have to pay attention?
I think most definitely. There's never been an African girl who's done the 4 top international pageants in the world.
What was the left one out? Miss International.
I did Miss International, Miss Earth, Miss World, and Miss Universe. And I've always said, I want to be that girl who's done, you know, why not? You know, I remember even with Miss International, they didn't have a South African representative. I was still in Royal City, and I contacted the organizers themselves, and I said, hi, this is who I am. I would love to represent my country. Can I come through? And then they gave me these costs. They were like, this is how much it will cost, blah, blah. And then I went to the University of Johannesburg, because I was the former Miss University of Johannesburg. And I said, this is what I would love to do. Would you guys be able to partner with me and help me and pay for the registration fees and all of that? Because I'll be talking about University of Johannesburg as well on an international platform. Mm-hmm. They said, of course.
Wow.
So they paid for everything. My parents gathered what they could for all the other extra stuff I needed. And I think that's just where I learned to just be brave. You know, it's those little moments where you just pick up the phone, make that phone call or send that email, or just be brave to say, can I please, or can I, you know, and
if you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly. It's true. And so it was extremely important for me to be part of these pageants. I mean, even Miss World, it was definitely my favorite, and I enjoyed it. I think also mostly because it was definitely my last pageant ever, and I just went there to have a blast, and I had an absolute blast.
What kind of environment is it, especially in these international ones? Because I've heard stories from other girls who've been in them, and you read about this. They always make it seem like it's a real nest of vipers, and these girls are all trying to take each other down and
cutting anklets and dresses and
No, that's all TV.
Really?
Yeah. Of course you're not going to be friends with everyone. Hello.
Sure.
You know. But you always have a group of people you're close to. And I think being South African, you end up being close to the other African countries.
Sure.
Or maybe Miss USA, Miss India. It's always the language thing.
Sure.
So, you know, Miss England. Yeah. So it's always the girls who speak English.
Hang around with each other.
Yes, French. Of course. So Miss Spain will be with Miss Venezuela, and you know, so it's nothing horrible. But of course, it's a competition. Of course, you want to win. But I think ultimately, most of the time, we're having fun. Of course, there's always stress behind the scenes. But with the stress, you probably call home complaining, blah blah blah. But when it's time to have fun, we have fun, and yeah, so it's not as dramatic as
people make it seem. A lot of people, it's also like they don't realize how it can sometimes be kind of boring. Like you're sitting in a hotel room eating room service and you're on your own some of the time, you know?
Most of the time it is. And I think the toughest year becomes your year of rain, actually, as Miss South Africa, because you literally can't have a social life. But I think if you're emotionally prepared, you'll be okay, because it's 1 year. And of
what
course,
do you mean by that? Apart from all of the work.
Yeah, but that's not really... Yeah, I mean, that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job. It really is. And I think it depends on how you see it. For me, it was like, this is 1 year. I want to meet all the relevant people I've always wanted to meet. I want to meet all the people that I want to get into business with. I want to network as much as I possibly can. And that's exactly what I did. So you work. It's work, 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 work. And you literally need the support of everybody else around you to just... You know, understand.
Mm.
Yeah, not complain.
I'm always interested when you do these things. You do get to meet a lot of really cool people. But who did you want? Who was on your hit list of people you'd
Michelle
love to
Obama.
Meet?
Michelle Obama.
And you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you hear what Pastor Manning had to say?
Yeah, I was laughing.
Son of a bitch.
There's a special place in hell for him.
So where did you meet Michelle?
That's cool. When she was here in South Africa.
Ah.
So I literally organized. I literally called the Department of International Relations. I heard they were the one doing these calls. Yeah, I'm telling you. I took it. I took everything I wanted.
That.
I went for it.
You're so proactive.
Yeah. So I heard that they are the ones... who planned her itinerary in South Africa. So I called them up. I called the spokesperson. I said, hi, this is Boka Munjani. I'm the current Miss South Africa. I've heard that you guys are the ones dealing with Michelle Obama. And I think being a representative to the young people of our country, you know, I gave this long world peace speech. And I said to them, is it possible for me to please meet her? So they organized a lunch for me and her. And I was ecstatic.
Wow.
Excuse me now?
And you do understand, if I didn't make the call, I would have never met her.
Now, hang on.
Do you understand?
That's incredible. So it was just you and her?
Yeah. And the guys and her team, obviously.
I mean, it was a whole bunch of people.
How
amazing is that?
It was just one of the
most
amazing.
What did you guys talk about? Did you get a little nervous?
I asked her, of course.
What did you
say
to Michelle
Obama? I think more than anything, it was just so inspirational, because she was... You know, I left the feeling like, as a young black woman, there's so much I can still do for my country. You know, sometimes you have a platform and you think it's extremely small. You can't do as much as you think you can.
Mm.
And then after spending time with her, I actually realized there's so much that I can do. I can actually literally go out there and make such a huge difference and a huge impact. So, yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Jeez, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm thinking, like, what do you wear when you meet the first lady? What do you eat? What do you say? I would have freaked.
When you miss SA, though, they give you a whole lot of outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
She's got designers coming around. Trust me, she's fine.
I was sorted.
Did you have anything prepared that you wanted to talk to her about, or did you?
It was just about women empowerment, the difficulties that women go through, and I was basically talking to her about the stuff that I'm busy with, what she thought I should do, you know, in terms of focusing on youth empowerment, making a difference. And I told her some of the issues that our young people go through in our country, you know. And funny enough is, we think we're so different yet so similar, you know. The same issues that some kids go through, most majority of some of the kids that what they go through in the USA, it's just the same as here. Obviously different dynamics, but yeah.
Mm.
So it was very, very interesting. It was just, yeah.
Do you think people treat you differently when they know you miss South Africa? Like, you're supposed to be the prettiest girl in the country. There's an expectation there. And people are really nice to you when you miss SA. You know, if you're just some, I don't know, diesel mechanic from Brakpan, you're not going to get the kind of love that you get when you walk into a room. Oh, here's Bokang. She's Miss South Africa. Even after your reign.
Yeah, I think not even, you know, how do I put it? The plan for me was this is a stepping stone to everything else that I wanted to do. And of course people are nicer because of the title, but what I appreciate more than anything is people are also more open to hear what you want to say. So for me, that was the biggest part. The fact that I can set up a meeting and be heard and say, this is what I'm busy with. I would love us to partner. You know, for me, it's always been about work, business, and, you know, my foundation. So, you know, it has definitely helped. I think if I hadn't done this, maybe I wouldn't be where I am now, but it definitely helped in terms of being in front of people and saying, this is who I am and this is what I want to do.
Which beauty pageant should Sia enter if he really wants to be taken seriously?
Yes.
Which?
I think I can get some sort of tiara. I can get a title. I can change
There's so
the
many,
world.
There are so many.
Are you going to be my mentor?
Yeah, well.
You won't last more than 5
Talk
days.
Talk about putting me on a spot,
he'll
guys.
Drive you crazy.
So right. Basically, first on the agenda meeting, Mrs. Obama as well.
Let me know what kind of day to day life, like you and Sipiwe and now Owetu, the three of you. What kind of a life do you have? Where do you guys live? Do you live in a big house? Do you live in a What's the place?
Yeah, because when the she said my day starts at 9, I'm just like, oh, she rolls out of bed.
I live
nine.
In my dream house.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Now the envy rises from me.
No, I live in my dream house. When we first saw it, I have mine and he has his. So you know almost now. You know these African men, once they've paid the lovola, now they want to move you to their house. I said, love, let's get something that's ours. It was very important for us to get something that's ours. So we rented our own houses out and we went and we got my dream house. I was like, this is the one. We went in and we viewed the house.
What
and
sold you on the house? What made it?
It was our house.
Yeah, but what made it feel like your dream?
Oh my gosh.
Like, what did you want in a house that you saw in this one?
You see, that's a tough question because it was everything that I wanted in my family home, in a home for my son. It was everything. We walked in, it had just been newly built, and I think they just built it to sell it. And I walked in and I was like, love, I don't want to see any other house.
Nice dressing room for you?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
The kitchen. The kitchen.
What kind of kitchen?
Oh my word, it's the most beautiful kitchen ever. It makes me want to cook. So he's not complaining. Wow. So he's not complaining. So yeah, the kitchen was perfect. The bedroom, our main bedroom, is perfect. It's gonna sound so corny, but I literally have everything I want and I need
right now.
I feel like I'm at such a good place. Mm. You know?
Yeah, that is special because we were talking earlier about, you know, this girl who got that 14 million in her account and spent 800,000. She's trying to impress all her friends by buying Johnny Gold and Peruvian weaves and all kinds of stuff.
She didn't even open a business.
Nothing.
But
here's the point. Like, Bokang, don't you wish you could sit down with a girl like that and say to her, listen, what other people think of you is none of your business. Mm. And what you should really focus on is you. It's like she was buying things. And I here you are. And you've got this great life. And you've earned it. And Sipiwe's earned it. And the two of you, you're a happily married couple. You took it slow. You've got your kid to look after. There's a whole lot of priorities in your life. Your businesses.
It's important.
Other people.
You know, Gareth, it is so important that we could be living in either my house or his house, and we could have put on a big parade for everyone and had the biggest white wedding. And we didn't do that. Why? Because for me, the priority was having a home first. Mm-hmm. You know, the white wedding and all of that is just, you know, it's a nice showing off moment.
No,
and
it's a one day thing. Moment.
And for me, it was like, I'm not going to go and spend. And listen, not in a bad way. I don't think if somebody like me and Spewa have a wedding, we're going to have something small. Do you understand what I'm saying? So obviously we need to have something really, but I said, it's not important to me. We don't have to put on a show for people. What's important is where we go home to each and every single day after a long, horrible day or a long, good day. I want to come home to you in our dream house, just to you and my son. And that's what I chose. And that's exactly what you're talking about, priorities.
Yeah.
Priorities.
A lot of people struggle with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's more important to them that everybody thinks they are X, Y, and Z.
You know, not in a bad... I just don't even think social media makes it easy for people. No. Hey? Mm-mm. Because everybody's trying to have the nicest handbag. Why do you want to have a handbag that costs 35? You know, I would never buy a handbag that costs 40,000 because I've got a bond. Yeah. Do you understand? Mm. I mean, when I'm just thinking, hey, a handbag and... important stuff. And I think we're just very different in that way. And I think also social media, it puts a lot of young girls, it's too much pressure for young girls.
So you talk about young women a lot, mm-hmm. and empowering them and kind of getting them the confidence that you had when you were younger. Are we making any progress there? Because your I Am Woman seminars, for example, you host these and you get influential women to motivate these other girls who may they may not have those role models in their life and all of that stuff. Do you see a change?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we keep in contact with most of the girls, especially not just for I Am Woman, but especially for the Dare to Dream, because it's always important to see in terms of progress how far. You know, you don't want to go to a place one time visit and never come back.
Exactly.
But you know, even with I Am Woman, I think it's very important for us to teach women to celebrate who they are and to accept themselves as they are. You know, you're good enough. You know, the way you are, you're just good enough, and you can conquer whatever it is you want to conquer. Just, you know, like I'm saying, everything I'm gonna say sounds so pageantry, but you really need to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You have to believe that you've got what it takes. I keep saying to everyone, I was the darkest skinned girl at Miss Essay. I was the girl with the biggest curves, and I still thought, I just don't care. I'm going to win this. It's my year. This is mine.
Because confidence is the sexiest
it's everything.
Thing in
it
the world.
It is everything. Yeah. I went on that stage with the biggest curves, an African bum, and I was like, this is mine. I'm here to take this.
Have
and
you ever been hit on anyone by anyone famous? Besides Sipiwe Tshabalala, obviously.
Oh, but my husband is listening.
No, but hit on. I'm not saying that you reciprocated or you said yes, but you know how men are. We're animals, right? We're savage animals. So men, and when you're an attractive woman like you, I would imagine you get hit on by a lot of men.
Not by a lot, but yeah, well.
I'm not saying in a gross way either, but you can see that men are flirting with you.
Yeah.
Do you just brush it off?
Yeah. If I'm not interested, I'm not interested.
See, it must be so nice to be so good looking.
Just nice life problems.
Wow. So tell me about this library that you put up in your hometown.
I did it actually in 2011 during my reign, because remember 2010, 2011.
They didn't have a library?
They didn't. And so it's basically in my whole village. They don't have a library. So I decided to go back to my primary school. So I used the classes I attended for grade 1, grade 2, and standard 1, and I asked them, it's, you know how rural schools are, it's like one long block.
Right.
So I asked them to break in between, and we turned that into a library. So now it's a library that's open to the whole community as well.
Huh.
So for young people to actually go through and read, and there's computers now as well. So it's one of the things I wanted to do for the young people in my village, and yeah, which is very important, because I have this thing about reading, and I think it's not just important for kids to know how to read, but I think it's important for them to know how to read and write in their languages as well.
Yes.
You know, if you're Bedi, you better know how to speak Sipedi and read it and write it. If you're Zulu, you should know as well. That's who you are. That's your identity.
Mm.
So, yeah. So that's why I decided to open the library. But obviously through a lot of partnerships as well. You know, it's like I'm saying, just blessed to have people believe in some of the little tiny dreams I have along the way. So we'll be able to help you out.
Well, some of these dreams don't sound so tiny. Some of them sound pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think what you're doing is tremendous, not just for you and your family, but also for other people.
Yeah.
It's great that you're changing the lives of so many women around South Africa. And please keep doing that, because I sometimes feel like when people talk about Women's Month and all this stuff, it's just a lot of air. You know?
There's always a hype around stuff, you know, and it's Youth Month. There's always a hype. I'm actually, whenever I look at my social media, I always laugh, because even if it's like Youth Day, I hardly post anything. You know, I just feel like, I don't know, I think I feel a bit fake. I don't know if I'm making sense. Hey,
yeah, I feel that way.
I feel a bit, yeah. So I...
Like almost like you have to say something.
Yeah, it's like you have to say something. It's like on Freedom Day or whatever. Mm. You have to say something.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like what I do and how I live my life, it's just... I do what I do and I think I do my part. And yeah.
That's yeah.
You're doing more than your part.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
It is a pleasure to spend some time with you, Bokang. And I hope we'll see you again soon. And please keep up all the good work. And lots of love to everybody at home.
Thank you. And people should come through for the Izged Lukha Fashion. It's actually taking place.
Tell me
Izged Lukha Fashion. It's one of the a pageant I won back in the days. You know what? I'm just involved with the organizers because I got the competition. I was crowned that.
Just another notch in your belt.
How many sashes do you have at home?
I've got 10.
And where are they?
Because, no, let me explain.
Just like
guys.
Around her
let
mirror in the dressing room.
Can I just explain? 2 seconds, please. You know, when I entered Miss SA in 2009, right? So I pulled out because it clashed with my final exam. So I had to choose, am I going to Miss SA or am I writing
good
my
for
final
you,
exam?
Right choice. Yeah.
I was like, nah, it's fine. I'll come back. If it's mine, it's mine. You know, I'm one of those people, I believe, destiny. If it's yours, it's yours. Delayed, it's not denied, right? So I said to myself, I pulled out, I wrote my final exam. So I said, now I had a year to prepare to go back in 2010. So I was like, I'm going to enter every single freaking pageant that I can find. So by the time I get to Miss South Africa, it's my 10. So Izged Lukha Fashion was actually one of the ones I did. And I got it and I was like, yes. And I got other ones, yes, yes. So Miss South Africa actually became my 10th title, just as I planned.
You're such an overachiever, you know.
Just
that.
As I planned.
Weren't you also out of what, Miss Rivonia or something?
Miss Rivonia as well, I'm telling you. That's one of the ones I got just before Miss South Africa because I was trying to
I think
to
you're
sure.
still Miss Rivonia because I don't think they had one after you. I think Miss Rivonia is just one of those that... In fact, if you walk... You've probably got the freedom of Rivonia. All the Chinese mall over there and the
that's
strip
all
clubs.
Yours.
They all just let you come in for free because you're Miss Rivonia, right?
Guys, that's not funny.
All right, Bokang. Lots of love. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Alrighty. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man. What a morning. Let's wrap it up with the unnews for today, and we will leave you in the capable hands of Rami Shwene and Romeo. They're coming in to do Belighted. After that, we've got a little Auto Central for you and plenty of other good stuff through the course of the morning. You had fun?
I did. Thanks, guys.
I'm so happy. Yay. I love it. Yay. I love it when
I'm
people come here and have
so
a good time.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah, not too
worried.
Crazy.
We were worried you're going to arrive here and have a terrible time. Here it is. This is what you need to know. Duduzani Zuma had his first interview about the Guptas over the weekend. In it, he denied any wrongdoing, assured everyone he isn't corrupt, and that the Guptas are a model South African family who are just very good at business. He also denied owning property in Dubai, but will be there for the next 6 months in case anyone else wanted to interview him in person. Donald Trump's wall is heading for the prototype stage, but is expected to cost over $60 billion. Trump said it's obviously going to be expensive, but that is because he intends building Mexican restaurants into it, so Americans can enjoy the food from their side while the Mexicans produce it from the other side. And finally, the Springboks have just arrived in Australia and are feeling a little worse for wear after only flying in premium economy. Ah, shem. They were meant to fly business class, but Dudumieni had already booked out all the seats as she was considering an Australian holiday this week. She woke up too hungover to fly, though, and the box still had to get stuffed into the cheap seats. We will see you tomorrow. Have an excellent day with CliffCentral.com. Be good.
This is CliffCentral.com.